Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. My name is Jack Mancini, and I'm a partner in a company called Maximum Value Partners. We're business coaches, and we're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and we end promptly at 8 o'clock. 1 hour, 1 hour of stories about small business events and episodes in our business coaching. When I say hour, I have a partner, long-term business partner, Adam Sunhalter, and he and I have been coaching for well over 15 years. And there isn't too much we haven't seen in the small business world, defined as 1 to 25 employees. We deal with the business owners themselves, the frustrations, the inability to have somebody to talk to who knows what the heck's going on. We bring those among many, many other solutions to their problems. We attempt to have a lot of fun, depending on who we're working with. We have a lot of fun generally. And so you get knowledge and fun. What more do you want to boost your business and move it along? And what we do on this hour every Wednesday is to talk about business stuff. And that business stuff basically comes from our experiences. We usually try to craft our experiences into an hour-long discussion. And since there's so much fodder, what is fodder, Adam?
Something to use to get ready to fire stuff with, like guns? Or
good, that's what we're doing.
All right.
That's right.
Is that the right
answer?
I'll
take that definition. That's a good definition.
All right.
So we have fodder from our daily business, our daily day jobs here with small business owners, and we move those into a program. So tonight, we're going to talk about something that should be near and dear to most business owners who basically bother to plan. We're coming into the planning season, just like Halloween and winter. And one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is sales forecasting. And it has a wide range of definitions and can get you in trouble in a lot of ways, but it can help you. We don't necessarily like that word too much. Like we don't like the word budgets. We like the fact of developing a profit plan. It encompasses those two words that I just said. But a profit plan is a much better phrase to talk about, or at least two words, to talk about what the heck is important in your business. And there's probably nothing much more important than a profit plan. Not a budget. That's called somewhat of what we're talking a profit plan is about. But you want to know what your profit is and how you're going to get there next year, don't you? And if you say, if you're one of these old curmudgeons who says, it doesn't do any good to profit or to forecast, let me tell you outright, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. So any business can be forecasted or planned. That's a much better word. And profits can be planned. And for the most part, you'd surprise yourself how well, regardless of what your business is, how well you can plan your profit. So with that, I'm going to give the microphone over to my astute partner who's going to talk about sales forecasting, and we're going to knock that word around a little bit. Actually, it's two words again. So
that's all right. That's good. Yes. Thanks, Jack. It's good to be here with you this evening. Thanks for joining us on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And if you're new, welcome. If you've been here for a while, welcome back. As you know, you're always welcome on this show, and the easiest way to do that is to give us a call here in the studio, 440-946-9468. And as Jack said, we're going to talk about sales. So welcome to October, which officially kicks off planning season. And it's always good to start at the beginning. And before, in the beginning, let's start here. I always get a chance to embarrass Jack.
The beginning.
Hey, do you know something special about today, Jack?
No, nothing at all.
October 2nd, it's a special, special day.
It's a few days from Halloween, something like that. Leaves are falling, starting to rain and get cold. I have to go out and put my little jacket on and stay warm and fuzzy.
So I didn't bring you any presents or cakes, Jack, but I know it's your birthday today. And people, if they don't know that, it's Jack's birthday today, October 2nd. So we can sing happy birthday to Jack.
Happy birthday, Jack.
Hey,
we're going to sing it right now?
We're going to sing to him, Scotty?
Yeah, let's
do it. All right, ready?
Let's go.
One and a two and a three.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jack. Happy birthday
you sounded very good.
That's
most
good.
Definitely.
There we go. Totally impromptu, but totally well-deserved. I always like to bring those things out. So, yes, it's planning season. That's part of why Jack loves October, because it gets things kind of started. And so, as he's mentioning the profit plan, so, folks, do you know what Jack's talking about when he says the profit plan?
Hell no, they don't. I know they don't.
All right. So let's try to visualize this. So perhaps you're familiar with something known as a P&L, or a profit and loss statement, or also known as an income statement. It's a thing in your business that you may look at. Hopefully, you look at it regularly. You may define regular as monthly, maybe quarterly, maybe annually. I don't know. But hopefully, you're looking at it at some point during the course of the year. And what that statement shows, it shows all the revenue or sales or income, the stuff coming into the business. And it also shows all the expenses, all that stuff going out of the business. And then it has what's left. It subtracts what's coming in from what's going out. And hopefully, Jack, we have something left at the end of the day. That's called a profit or net income. Or the bottom line.
Which one is it? Which one is it?
Or the bottom line. How about that one?
That's right. Which one is it then? That's three.
So one of the one of the troubles with numbers and accounting is, like any language, there's often multiple words or phrases that are used to mean the same thing. And so we all know this living in the world we live in today, Jack, where marketing comes in. And, you know, you finally think like you know what you're talking about with something. All of a sudden the marketing come in, they change what something's called all of a sudden, right? And we see that all the time within generations. All of a sudden something that was called this when I was a kid now is called that. And it's like, okay, well, isn't that this? Yeah, it's the same thing, but it's a new word for it. And when it comes to numbers and accounting, there's a lot of confusion that tends to happen because of verbiage, nomenclature, whatever people call stuff, right? Whatever words you want to use.
That's right.
So if you can picture that, if you don't have one, maybe if you're listening to the podcast, suppose listening to it live, maybe you pause the show here, go get a copy of your P&L, your profit and loss statement, just to kind of get it in front of you. So as we're talking, it's a good visual to have as we're talking through some of this stuff. Okay. So as you look at the top line or top lines, maybe there's a category of different. It should say sales or income or revenue, most likely, depending what you're looking at, what kind of accounting system. That's what we're going to focus on tonight, is that top section. That's the money coming in. That next section of all the expenses, that money going out, that's usually a little easier to forecast. So we'll get, you know, we're going to cover that today. We're going to talk about that top line of sales. And how do I do it? And you made a comment, Jack, in your opening monologue here about you can forecast or plan any business.
That's right.
That's not what we usually hear from people, Jack, when we talk about
it. I know. About doing this forecast. Yeah, that's for that other guy. You can't plan my business. What do you mean? You can forecast your business. you can forecast any business. Not a degree of... First of all, it's not a game of perfect. Mm. We like to say that.
Okay.
And because of that, any business can be forecasted. Not a degree of accuracy. And again, we aren't after accuracy as much as we are the thinking behind the profit plan for you next year. If you made X profit this year or a loss, you want to make X plus some profit next year.
X plus. What is this, the new iPhone?
Yes.
You got the pluses. Hold on. So you said some things that maybe don't go to maybe don't go together for people. Because we say accounting, right? And accounting, and you've quoted this before. I'll bring it up again. Your undergraduate accounting professor. I don't know if it was the first professor you had, but it was one of your earlier professors at Ohio University that talked about miscellaneous.
Yes.
Right? He said, you don't write checks to miscellaneous, right? Or checks don't come in miscellaneous.
That's correct.
There should be something.
It was real good. I liked him because he had those kinds of insights.
Right. So something that we account for, right? And we put it down there. We should be able to account and have it down to the penny, right, in terms of things matching up, right? So that's when I think of accounting, Jack, that's the framework
right.
I have, and
right.
It goes back to you, right? So you mentioned that in the same breath as you mentioned it's not a game of perfect, and we're not after accuracy, right? So you said those, and also my brain stopped.
Uh-oh.
Now, maybe the rest of our listeners didn't stop, but mine did. I'm going, wait a minute. Those seem polar opposite to me. You know, again, accounting, I'm thinking, hey, we got everything down. It's perfect. It's there. I can see it all. And you're saying it's not a game of perfect. We're not worried about accuracy. So I think I have an answer to help.
Oh, wait, you're wandering off a little.
No, in other words,
forecasting isn't accounting in the truest sense.
There you go. Okay, that's
Accounting is a body of rules and debits and credits and all that good stuff.
Oh, boy, yes. We're not going to go debits and credits and make my eyes bleed, let alone our listeners' ears bleed. So we're not going to go to that. But, yeah, that's exactly right. So it's a different thing. We're using the same – I want to bridge the gap for people, Jack. We're using the same kind of format. So we're talking about a profit and loss, a P&L,
gotcha.
Income statement.
Right.
And that's historical. And that better be accurate, and it better reflect what happened in the past. But your point is, hey, just that past performance, that's fine. The future, we don't have a crystal ball. We have some visibility. Depending on the business, we may have more visibility or less visibility. And I think the point you're trying to make here, I'm trying to draw here because I think it's a very important point, because it's often the reason people don't plan. It's not going to be right, folks. The sales forecast, the profit plan, it's not going to be right. That's what Jack's talking about. He's saying it's not a game of perfect. We're not worried about accuracy, right? We're trying to get our best thinking, our best knowledge into the plan as it stands today. What can we see? What can we start to forecast? So know it's not going to be right coming in, not using that as an excuse like, hey, I'll never be able to figure out what this stuff should be. Don't use that as an excuse, folks.
You're right,
Adam.
We're
telling you.
You're right on the nose with that.
Okay. So it's not going to be right, and we know that, but that doesn't mean we can't get pretty darn close, or at least get our best guesses, at least give us some idea of what we're trying to do. Again, we often use that the example of going to drive somewhere. And we're blessed these days, we all have these, you know, these devices, right, that have GPS in them, and they kind of show us what's kind of going on. But for those of us over the age of 30 can remember having to look at maps and figure stuff out. Or one of my favorite things was going to AAA, Jack, and getting that triptych, right? Remember going to that?
I remember very well, yeah.
All right. So getting that triptych, you know, printed out, and it showed me the pathway to kind of go and everything else, and list all the construction. It was great. They kind of laid, you know, to go from point A to point B. Here's where, you know, I know what I want to do. And so where we start with this stuff, we start with that point A to point B. We are where we are now, and you asked, hey, what do you want to do next year? I think you asked him, hey, you want to have a profit next year, don't you?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay.
I want to plan that. That's right.
So we start there. We start and put those stakes in the ground. We say, okay, here's where we're...
The big numbers, the broad look.
You got it.
Last year we had X, now next year I want X plus.
So let's pretend you have a business where you're doing $500,000 this year in sales, give or take. That's where you're going to be. Okay, 500,000 in sales. Okay. What's next year look like? And there's no right or wrong answer to this, folks. The question is, what do you want the sales to be next year? Do you want it to be $500,000 again? Do you want to grow it 10%, 50%? You want to double it? You want to shrink it? Whichever.
It's up to you. Whatever you want to do. That's right.
It's exactly. This is a very empowering document, right, Jack? Very empowering, because you get a chance to say, hey, this is my company. This is my business. Here's what I want to do with the business. What
can
a very
be,
empowering it, thing, right?
That's right. It can be as big or as small as you want to make it. Now, you know, the next step, obviously, is can you do it? And that's the heart and soul of the profit plan.
Well, that's why they're listening to the show tonight, Jack, because we want to start to get a sense of that. So we want to, as we're heading to our first break here, okay, I want you to give some thought to this. What do you want your sales to be next year? And your profit. Get those two numbers in mind in terms of, hey, here's
just
what.
Just those two. No, yeah. No others. Just those two.
So what I want them to be, don't worry about how, but here, I'd like to have sales of X and profits of Y. So give that some thought as we're going to break. We'll come back after break and tell you about how we start to kind of fill these things in. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
Yeah, I like that. I like that whole idea. I'm Jack Mancini.
Stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're talking tonight about planning. Planning season is October, and here we are, high end start off of planning season. And when we're going to break, we're talking about what would you like your sales and your profits to be next year. So hopefully you've had a chance to think about that for a couple minutes, and you have a number in mind. And again, it should be based off something versus where you are this year. But we got to put that stake in the ground that we're going to be looking at. Here's what we want to be able to do. Here's what I'd like the sales to look like, and we don't know how yet. Don't burden yourself with how quite yet, because we're going to get into the how piece of it. So get that number listed down. That's the first step, okay? So you got that number, Jack. Great. Now how the heck do I start to figure out what makes up that number?
Boy, that's not a hard thing to do for us. But if you've never tried to forecast your sales before, it might be a little daunting, but it shouldn't be. You know the answers already in terms of what you want to do. So it's more of a case of how you're going to do it logically. So we can fill in that profit plan by the numbers, but that's not where the meat of that is. It's the assumptions that you're going to make when you lay out those numbers. That's really the power and the key to this.
Right. And it helps us kind of start on the right foot. As you said, we want to kind of start things out, and we find a very good, whether you want to call it a sobering question or a way to frame stuff, because it doesn't matter. And again, as you're listening, if you have a retail business, if you have a professional service business, if you're in the trades, it doesn't matter. If you're in manufacturing, again, we can forecast any business, folks. But we find it very helpful to kind of get started in trying to think about our sales in one of two buckets, okay? First bucket would be in terms of your product or services. What products and services do you offer? What would that look like to kind of do it? And can you plan around those, okay, the products or services that are offered? That's bucket number one. Or bucket number two. I feel like, what was that game show? Is it Let's Make a Deal? What was it?
Make a Deal.
Was that what's behind door number two?
I think so.
All right, so Let's Make a Deal, Jack. Door number two, or bucket number two, is your customers or your target markets, okay? So again, those are two broad buckets. Product and services versus your customers or your target markets. Let me give a couple examples that may help bring a little color to this, Jack. So let's pretend you're more of a retail business. In fact, one of our earliest clients was a jewelry store, right? So our client said, I cannot forecast my business. Jack, I have no idea whether Jim or Sally or Ricky, whoever is going to walk through that door today, tomorrow, or next week. I have no idea who's going to walk in.
That's right.
And you know what we said to them? I said, you're absolutely right. You don't know that. But, that doesn't mean you can't forecast your sales. When it comes to retail, I agree, it's often difficult to tell who's going to come in. Now, you may have our local coffee shop. It's more of a retail thing where, hey, you have your regular customers. Or maybe a little diner or restaurant. Maybe you have some regulars that you have a sense for. You have a sense for those folks, right? But those are probably a small part of your business, right? So we said, instead of thinking about this, going back to the jewelry store, instead of thinking about when the particular customers are going to come in, let's look at it more from the other side that we mentioned. Remember those two buckets, folks, right? The customers was one of them, but the other bucket was the product or services. So I said, let's look at see what you're selling. How do you define your products or services? So we're talking about a jewelry store here, right? So most of us, I think, have been into a jewelry store. You can imagine one, or maybe you've heard about them. I think most of us have actually been to one. You look around and see. What do you got in a jewelry store, right? We got some bracelets and necklaces and rings, and you got diamonds, you got watches. You got all kinds of different stuff, right? Well, it's one way to kind of think about it. Part of their product, too, that they were thinking about is they'd have different brands, right? So they'd have things like Pandora, or they'd have things like Tacori, or Hearts on Fire, right? Different brands of stuff that were different kind of products and different ways to kind of categorize it. We started to look historically a little bit, okay? We were talking before about looking back to kind of get a sense of stuff. We said, let's take a look at the last couple of years and see if we start to create some buckets of sales. As you look at our sales are X dollars. We start to kind of divide them into some of these different product buckets. What's going to happen? So we did a little bit of analysis. Because we said, look, we can probably forecast your business within 80% of the actual numbers. No way.
Not knowing a thing.
What do you guys do? You guys don't know anything about jewelry. I mean, I have a wedding ring, Jack. Okay? That's it. I don't have a watch. I nothing, right? What do you guys know about jewelry business? doesn't matter.
That's right.
You can forecast any business, right, Jack?
That's correct.
So we started having to do some of this analysis, and wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden we got a half a dozen or eight different products that made up 85 or 90% of their sales, right? And all of a sudden you start to kind of see, hey, we got watches over here, they're doing this. We got loose diamonds over here. I got engagement bands over here. I got necklaces over here. My different product here for Hearts on Fire is taking off over here. Okay, we could start to see some different products and said, what? Hey, you look at the last couple of years, all of a sudden, hey, I see my diamond sales have grown from here to here by 5%, or I've seen my watches grow. All of a sudden, they can start to kind of see a little bit. So, let's start to forecast it based on those products and services. And what was interesting is part of that analysis, if you remember, Jack, they had a category called kind of like giftware, I think is what they called it. So maybe
you have a good memory, Adam. That was a while ago.
Some days I'm visualizing the store as I'm talking about this, Jack. And they'd have different things over there. So maybe things like for wedding gifts, perhaps. Right? They have a vase here or something like that. Some real nice crystal kind of things. Some really nice, pretty looking things, or some really high-end pens, and they'd have some things. And as we started getting into it, we started to realize that, hey, actually they had a couple of customers that were more corporate customers. They're kind of corporate gifting type customers, where one was, every year, depending how the year went, they'd have a big celebration, and every year, here's how things kind of went, and then the owner would pass out different awards to people. And so depending on how the year went, they'd either have, maybe kind of low to mid five figures that they would spend on it, or some years maybe they'd spend six figures on stuff where they'd be buying a lot of stuff. They had a really good year, and they wanted to share and recognize with the team. And then a couple of customers like that said, hey, we can look at these couple of customers. Hey, we can forecast these customers. So it became a little bit of a hybrid, but it was mostly on the product and service, but with a couple of the customers. And that's often how this starts to go. You start to kind of dig into it and look at it a little bit. You start to see, hey, well, yeah, the prime thing I'm looking at is my products, but I may throw a few customers in there. In any case, so we kind of went through all this exercise, and we came out, and I think we did a little better than 80%. If I recall, I think we were at 95 or 96% of the sales for the next year.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Right? And we had a convert at that point. Right? It took us 15 months to kind of get them there, but they started to see the magic in this stuff in terms of what was kind of going on, helping them understand where they're putting their efforts towards. And they could also promote what was going on. Hey, we would talk about the kind of customers that would buy certain things. Again, we gave the example like the corporate companies that were buying gifts, but then we sort of analyze who was buying the diamonds, who was buying the watches. You go back and forth in these two buckets, but the question is, which one do you kind of start with, I guess?
That's right. The thinking, the power in that is really focusing hard on where your sales are coming from historically and where they're likely to be, at least on a frontline first pass basis. And then from there, you can develop programs to try to increase. I mean, it's what's done.
That's right. So you have this, you should have this data available to you. Right? And in today's world, we were given an example of retail store, Jack. And I know most of the retail stores these days have these nice POS systems, right? The point of sale systems that track all kinds of data. And many of you may be frustrated by what the heck all this data is showing or what kind of goes on, but you should certainly have some pretty good data in there in terms of historical sales to be able to pull some stuff out here and get a sense of what's there. Because you have a lot of, in retail, you have a lot of transactions usually. And so you may have thousands or tens of thousands or whatever. That's a lot of transactions. Your eyes are going to start to roll or bleed or come out of your brains. But we're trying to get down to the point. Let me come back to the point you made earlier, Jack, in the first segment about we're not here for being perfect or being accuracy. If we can see 80% of our sales, make up most of our sales, we can forecast those. Okay, we're going to have a pretty good sense for the majority of stuff that we're doing from what we've been able to see in the past and maybe see certain things that are kind of going on. We looked at that giftware piece, realized that a lot of stuff was kind of dusty. Remember, we were looking at it and said, hey, this has been in here for 3, 4, 5 years. We're going, and we're unemotional guys. Well, that's a pretty vase, Jack, but you know what? That's dollar bills sitting on that.
That's correct.
On the countertop.
Really, that's right.
And we're thinking, wait a minute, why put that on the shelves? Take that money, put it in your pockets, or reinvest it in something else that's going to turn through here. Even though I know you want to find the right buyer for that. I know you do. But let's try to get rid of that, turn it into cash. We can kind of get some more stuff we know people are buying, right? So that's one simple example from a retail store. But you start to look historically to give you a sense of what's kind of going on. But it starts with kind of making that decision in terms of, hey, am I going to go more towards that product or service bucket versus going more towards that customer bucket? And I got an example on the customer bucket, too. It's a little different. I want to kind of talk about it to kind of make that point, too. unfortunately, we're up against our next break here, Jack.
Okay.
But it's, we're thinking about sales. If we're going to break here, I want you to think. First break we gave you is think about what you want your sales goal to be. And I was starting to think about, hey, how do you want to think about those sales? You want to think about it in product and service buckets? Or do you want to think about it in terms of your customers and target market buckets? We'll be back. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
All right, stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
This one's for you, Jack.
All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
All right, we're halfway through the show, folks, and we're talking about forecasting sales. We've gotten...
We're at a jewelry store. Are we going to buy anything while we're doing this?
Yeah, you keep shopping, Jack. You'll find something that you like.
All right.
Something shiny and maybe gold. That'd be good. Go with the gold grill, something like that. What do you think?
Go with my gold tooth.
There you go. Perfect. So we talked about in the first segment kind of setting a goal for your sales for next year. As we're going to break last time, we talked about, again, this idea of two primary buckets to focus on, one being product or service, or the other one being kind of customers and target markets. And so we gave the example of the jewelry store as a great way, in a retail location, a great way to look at product and service to start to kind of forecast your sales. You got big buckets of products and services that you sell and start to kind of frame it that way. Now, if we go with something a little different, let's go with like a professional services firm, Jack. Okay. And you look at that, again, we have a client that's in, it's an engineering related firm, kind of design stuff. And they have really primarily one product, right, which is kind of those design services. You know, if you look at it at its core, it's really engineers doing stuff, you know, doing time. And if we started talking about it, started analyzing with the owner, and, you know, being an engineer, as you guys might imagine, you probably have some engineer friends, or maybe you're an engineer yourself, you're kind of analytical. You know, I'm a pretty analytical guy, Jack, but boy, engineers are, you know, bring it to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah, they'll nail you to the wall with that one.
So as we started to talk about his, you know, the product, right, being that kind of design services, Jack, he laid out, well, hey, there's really kind of five stages that we kind of come in at. He said, okay, well, tell us more. It's understand, maybe it'd be helpful to refine. Because often it's good to start with a bigger picture and you start to kind of refine it a little bit, try to give them a little more definition. He said, look, here's the five stages that you can look at. Again, this is the work that they do tends to be more for companies that have products, okay? So they said, look, you have a concept phase. So you start the concept phase saying, okay, hey, Jack, you and I are really good with whiteboards and flip charts. Right? We can get some ideas down and put them up there on a whiteboard. Hey, that's great. It's a fantastic idea, Jack. You know, that's going to be wonderful. Then we bring an engineer in here, and they go, what in the heck are you guys talking about? You can't do this. It's not even possible, right? Not even possible. So the concept gets thrown out, right? So they can come in at that very early stage, what do you call it, the concept phase. We get beyond our crazy ideas, okay, to say, you know what, this might work, Jack. We can find a way to make this thing work. Let's figure out is it feasible. We have the feasibility stage, he says now, right? So the feasibility stage is saying, okay, let's look at this thing and say, hey, can we start to kind of make this thing happen? What does it start to look like? What all is involved? And if we're starting to go, well, hey, if we're adding to a product we already have, well, gee, you know, we're, somebody gives us a budget, hey, you can't spend more than, let's say, $2 per product on it, right? Okay, can we get something where we can design it for $2 per product? And often you've kind of failed at that point. So, okay, so let's say you get beyond that. Okay, we got beyond the concept phase. We got beyond feasibility. So now we're going into the design phase. We're actually designing this product now, right? And they said that we can help along all those, right? So we're going to design the product. Everything's kind of going great. We get the thing designed. Maybe you get some prototyping done. Okay, things are okay. Let's keep going. That's stage three is design. So now it's going into production phase. I said, okay, well, now we're going to mass produce stuff. And for any of you who've been involved in manufacturing, you know, when you're doing kind of testing versus actual big-time production, it's altogether different in terms of how you're doing stuff, and you got to ramp things up. So we can help with the production piece of it and getting things out so they're working well. They can keep getting the same thing day after day after day. And he said the last stage is a life cycle stage. Hey, it's been around for a while now. You got to maintain this thing. Because, again, what they're doing is they have certain things that have to be updated. They have to kind of maintain it. So he made this passion case to us, Jack. And we said, yeah, I'm not quite sure how you sell that. Right, we're kind of, you know, it's good. We appreciate the enthusiasm, but I'm not sure how I sell that as a product. Again, they're going to keep coming back to design. I understand there's different applications to it, and you may think about how you're doing stuff, or you may think about your resources that way. But that's not really maybe a good way to do it. Why don't we instead take a look at the kind of companies you're having good luck with. And so they've gotten involved with something that's very popular these days, a three-letter acronym. Jack, remember what it is?
No.
Close. IoT.
IoT. Oh, sure.
You know what that is,
absolutely.
Right, Jack?
Absolutely. Internet of Things.
You got it, right?
That's it.
So what? That's
too many threesomes. That.
Wait, what?
Which one are we pulling on?
Three-letter acronyms? Yeah.
That's
different. Hold on. Hold on a second, folks. That little sidebar. No. Different. Never mind. I won't go there. All right. Anyway, so we got IoT. So we have the Internet of Things is a fancy pants word. You may have heard smart stuff, like smart homes, smart things like that. Okay. So things that they've worked on things from, you know, a lot of things that are around your house, you know, from ceiling fans to faucets,
thermostats,
to the thermostats.
Yeah, everything. Toilets, refrigerator, everything. Everything in your house is possible.
So our client had done quite a bit of work with folks like that, right? And said, hey, wait a minute. We're having some good luck with folks who are
although, you know, I don't know what you do. How do you get Internet of Things related to toilets? So
they're going to measure how much water you're using to do this, or how much TP.
They probably will, yeah, something.
Is he got the proper technique for wiping or doing enough thing? All kinds of things. They'll be tracking everything.
Be
Jack. Nothing's going to be
in there, and yeah,
that's
okay.
Right. Nothing's going to be sacred, right? So, in any case, so our client was having a lot of good luck with these folks. Where again, it's there are folks who are very good at designing and marketing products for the home, but now there's also this demand for them becoming smart. And so, as I'm sure people can appreciate, there's all different levels of engineering. You know, you got mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and 85
right.
different versions
right.
of it, right? So these folks that we're talking about, the companies that make these products usually have more mechanical engineering, is my understanding of it. And they don't have too much when it comes to, like, the electrical engineers, the folks that understand firmware, software, hardware, whatever. That's not their thing. Their thing is, hey, I understand I'm mechanical. This thing works, it cranks through, and it's good, right? So to make these things smart, they don't have that in-house. So they have to find somebody outside to help them. And they may not need it more than just for a few projects, right? So in any case, we started to kind of narrow down in terms of the customers. It's a long way kind of getting there in terms of trying to give you some background here, folks, to get to the customer side. So, hey, we can see what kind of customers we work well with. And in fact, we can go search for more customers like that and find these folks, right, that do these things. And we started to get focused around that in terms of what we're doing in terms of the customer base that we're kind of going after. And so that's worked very, very well, to the point, as you might imagine, that these are often some longer-term projects. It might last for a few months or a few years. And so imagine having a business like that where I can see by customer. I've got purchase orders on hand, or I've got discussions I've had with these customers. I can kind of start to see, what are we planning to do? Folks, this is the best time of year to do this. Here we are in planning stages. Picture calling your customers and saying, hey, what are we doing next year? Hey, see, the last year did this, the last couple of years, where might be, we're going on?
I agree 100%. Look how effective that is.
Right.
You get an opportunity to chat with real business, put forth the best foot forward for you, showing, you know, an interest in them in a different way. You want to help them, and it starts all kinds of different dialogues, all on the positive side.
That's right.
Very good.
So we had that breakthrough with this client to kind of start to be able to look at it this way and to start to be able to forecast that way and start to know who we were going after and to know when things are coming in, people were meeting, people were, you know, it helps like anything else to know what you're looking for. Right, if you know what you're looking for, when it appears...
Much easier. You'll trip over it in the right way, won't you?
Well, when it appears, you start to kind of grab it, right? And this happened to our client who was flying back from a show in Vegas a couple of years ago, sat next to somebody for one of these companies. You got the person you're looking to meet sitting next to you for 4 hours.
How nice is that?
What a perfect opportunity, right?
And
you might miss it if you don't know what you're looking for. But all of a sudden, here they show up. Huh, divine intervention. They just sit next to you. Well, you know, that's great. Let's make this thing happen. So it started to give this client tremendous visibility to be able to start to now forecast things that are out and to be able to, you know, put out, like we mentioned in the first segment, folks, picking, here's my goal. But my goal for sales for the year is going to be X. Okay. Now we're starting to kind of fill this thing. So whether you're a retail location, like I mentioned in the last segment, in terms of, hey, I'm going to do it by product, I can start to forecast by product, start to fill that in, give a little color to that. Or I start looking at my customers, like we do for a professional service firm, as you know, as an example. So where do you fit? That's the question. Where do you fit? Where would you start? And it's always going to go back and forth. Again, when they're forecasting out by customer for this engineering design firm, well, they have different projects that are part of that. They have different, as I went through, their different products, right? Whether it be in the concept or feasibility or life cycle phase, they can look at it internally that way and see it. But it's starting with the customers. Starting with the customers. So we got to start there. That's the best place to start that
it's
we know
big,
how.
Big difference between a startup and a company that's been around too. That you know, since we get involved with startups from time to time, but having customers, having a history, is gold. It forms an excellent base for moving forward, and it should give you the confidence and, quite frankly, the opportunities to be successful with your sales next year.
That's right. And so we use that as a good jumping off base to where, again, if I can't see my customers but I can see my products, I can start to forecast that a bit, which ones I'm going to do. And same thing's true on the customer side if I can see those. So that's a good starting point, Jack. But it's probably not going to get me the whole way there.
No, it won't.
If it does, what do you tell them, Jack? If all of a sudden, just what I can see, all of a sudden I met or exceeded my original forecast I gave you. What do you tell people when they do that?
You're wonderful.
No, you tell them you got to raise your goal then, right? If you're telling me you want to do $500,000, you're showing me, $750,000. I said, wait a minute. I got to raise that goal up a little bit. Yeah, again.
Well, you can always say that though too. No matter what you got, but you're right. I mean, from a mechanical standpoint. Yeah, you estimated 500,000, and now these things are coming in at 550, right. 560. And
well, we have some of our clients that way. I remember our one guy was in more of the IT-related field, and we busted his butt about it. So, he would only forecast what he could see. And it's like, come on. Like, he'd smile. Like, he kind of knew it. He's sandbagging. It's like, okay, well, come on. This is, again, there's other stuff that kind of comes in. And that's where we start to kind of get into some of these other categories, Jack, right? So the prior customers or the prior products or services, what you want to do is you can get this information, again, as we were mentioning before, about whether it be your point-of-sale system or if you're using something like QuickBooks, there are reports you can run that show either by customer or by product or service. You can see, and I think they're called it summary sales or summary revenue by product or summary sales or revenue by customer. You can run these reports, and here all of a sudden this data is there in front of you. You can start to kind of see it. Come back to your point, Jack. It's the thinking. You're trying to get the thinking down here, right?
That's exactly right.
And so that's a very important thing to see, to sort of how to pull the information. It's right there. You just got to sort of kind of pull it out, right? So that's going to be a big-time base for you. But, like I said, it's not going to probably won't get you fully there to what's kind of going on. There's some other categories we have to kind of get into here, Jack. And we'll tee it up here, and then as we get back from break, we'll be able to kind of get more into it. But there's three other categories that I want to talk about. One being backlog.
Okay, those are orders that you have a signed purchase order for, mm-hmm. that basically are ready to go. It's just a matter of when.
Right.
Okay.
The other one's going to the next one will be quoted work.
Quote. So not anything signed and in your hand like a backlog, but they're asking you to tell them for this product definition. What will it cost me? So that has good probability of turning into an order.
That's right.
Okay.
And then the third category we'll talk about is we refer to as kind of drop-ins or kind of one-time things that happen from you being in business for a while.
Just because you're in business, people know you, you're in their systems. They may not be a regular buyer, but when something does come up, they tap you. So, yeah, that stuff will happen. You don't have to do anything. Just open your door, and you'll get some business.
That's right. Okay, so we're heading to our third break here, and as we've done the first two breaks, I'm going to give you a homework assignment for a couple minutes while we're gone. When we come back, but I want you to be thinking about this. Where do you keep track of your backlog, of your quoted work, and then think about, do you have some drop-in, like things that just kind of show up like that? So start think about where is that stuff going to be at. We'll come back from break and tell you more about how to use these things. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
Stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT, 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
Okay. Good job.
All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
The birthday boy.
Birthday boy. That is correct, though.
So we're talking about planning, forecasting. We've gone through some sales. We've got your goal down for your full year goal for sales for next year. You start to give some thought to which buckets you're going to be putting things into, your product or service bucket or your customer target market segment. And we gave you another homework assignment at the last break to talk about and think about your backlog, your quoted work, and your drop-ins. Okay. So the backlog stuff. So where do you keep track of this stuff? You know, it might be a simple little spreadsheet. You might have a fancy CRM system, Jack, right? That's a customer relationship management system, right? Or something you do, and this, again, this doesn't necessarily apply to every business. I mean, we give that quick caveat. We didn't give that caveat before we went to break, Jack. So, you know, things like a retail business, you probably aren't going to have some backlog, right? But there are certain kind of companies where, yeah, you go out and you quote work, and you get quotes in. So in the manufacturing business, it's very common to have purchase orders for backlog. And a lot of the professional services business, you know, different projects like that. So those kind of companies where you have stuff where somebody's committed to you. So they got a signed piece of paper that says, hey, we're going to do work with you. And you may be starting on that work now. Maybe you've already started out in the third quarter, or maybe starting out in the fourth quarter of this year. But it's going to drag on beyond the fourth quarter, right? So as we're starting to kind of build our sales, right, the majority of it, or the big chunk of it, is probably going to be that first segment we talked about in terms of either the customers or products or services from the past. But we got some backlog we can see. Hey, we've got some firm orders that are here that, hey, all we got to do is deliver them, Jack. That's the easy part, right?
That is the easy part.
So we want to be able to kind of track that and get a sense for that and know what that number is going to be. But that's going to start to kind of plug our hole here in terms of the difference between our full-year goal and what we've been able to identify with our prior customers or products. And then now we're going to have a little bit of a plug with some backlog. So, hey, we got some orders in place. Maybe it'll take you, you know, some additional orders in the first quarter next year. Maybe it takes you through some of next year. Okay. So the backlog is a very, very key thing. Before it becomes backlog, though, Jack, it's quotes, which is the thing we talked about before, which is quoted work. So if you're like many salespeople, everybody you meet, everybody you talk to is going to buy from you. And so you go out there and you all these quotes, and every quote you put out there, that's it. This is the one, right?
That's right.
So we all know that's not the case, unfortunately. But the question is, there some that you feel better about than others? And we mentioned early on.
You know you're going to get some of those. You
right.
know you will. So.
And we mentioned a couple things early on. We mentioned this is not a game of perfect, or we're about accuracy per se, and we don't have crystal balls here, right? But we're trying to figure out.
Oops.
We're trying to figure out which of those quoted works might be good for you. So we're getting goofy at the end of the night here, Jack.
I know. It's been
see, all it takes
been an
is
interesting
some,
day.
Some crystal balls and some annals, and all of a sudden Jack's giddy like a little schoolgirl. It's great, isn't it?
Boy.
We're easily amused. That's what happens, folks, right? So
it's that energy. I'm
we're getting you energized, Jack. We'll talk
That's
about that.
Right.
We'll talk about that next week. So we want to make sure that we focus on the quarter work we think is gonna be the best. Now, people have all sorts of different ways that they'll do this, right? And we talked to, as you mentioned before, a lot of our engineering clients, they want to be very analytical and very accurate. And this drives them nuts because they'll put all kinds of weightings on these things, this and this and that. Like, we're like, no, just pick some that you think are going to happen because it's either 100% happening or 0% happening, right? Either you win the business or you don't.
Right.
So don't give me a bunch of – just give me some. Here's ones I feel good about. You probably aren't going to be right. But to your point, Jack, hey, some are going to happen, some aren't. We'll see how good you are at guessing. If you nail them all, we're heading to the Jack Casino tonight because we're going down there. And what do you want to play, right? So we got to figure out from the quoted work piece of it, you know, what's that look like? So if you have some quotes, like that's good to do. So the backlog and quoted work, again, it may not apply to your business. So if you're more in retail, it probably doesn't apply, but so don't worry about that. But this last one, the drop-ins, or the things that kind of one time that kind of shows up because you've been around for a while, that's one that may take a little more digging to try to figure out. But this came up with a client of ours who was in the professional service realm. They did some environmental stuff. And he said, yeah, things just kind of just show up. Every year kind of go back through. I can't pinpoint this. All of a sudden, hey, we'd have X dollars that would just kind of show up. And we'd look historically, and I was like, yeah, it was a significant amount of dollars that just kind of came in. And it's one of the beauties of being in business for a while that people know you. You've met people.
You go into records. You go into systems. And, yeah, when they need the product you have, you're the go-to guy. It may not be regular, you know, regular every year, every month, but that's okay. And that's good drop-in stuff. That's
right.
Going to happen.
Right.
Sure as we're sitting there.
So you try to get some forecasts or some guests for that. Again, we're this is all guesstimate work because, again, we're forecasting out, we're projecting, we're putting our best thinking as we have today best knowledge we have today to try to kind of put that out there. So if you start to do that, so again, let's come all the way back here to where we started. We talked about, again, getting a goal for the full year, Jack, and then started to kind of break it down into these different buckets, right? Or either looking at whether we're going to be looking at customers or we're looking at product or service, but that's kind of historical. What can we see now from that? Our backlog, our quotes, and some drop-ins. So we're starting to kind of fill in that overall goal we've had. Now, chances are we get those four categories. Maybe they make up all that we had for the goal, or maybe we still have a little bit of a gap there. Maybe we're still missing something. Okay, that's, let's say out of our 500, we think we started with $500,000, didn't we? That's
right.
Pick that number.
Yeah.
Let's say between your prior customers or product or service, between your backlog, your quotes, your drop-ins, you can see, let's say, 400,000 at 500,000. Okay. So
I'm going to guess, what's that bogey called? The 100?
The 100,000.
Is our bogey.
What do we do about that? Yeah. How do we figure that out? You asking me?
I'm just kind of throwing it out there. What would that whole process be called? Developing a what?
Another kind of plan, Jack.
That's right.
It's a marketing.
Starts with an M.
It's a marketing plan, right?
That
marketing
100,
plan.
That 100 is going to get the full force of your marketing plan, not the $500,000. Just 100,000.
So let's pause there. I think this is a very important point. I want to spend some time on this, Jack, because I think people might just kind of brush by that. So we've gone through here in just in less than an hour. We've kind of helped you get a sense for your goal for your full year of sales for next year. Then when we first asked you to do that, it was probably pretty daunting for you. How the heck am I going to get this kind of sales, right? We started to kind of take some chunks out of it in terms of your customers or your products or services, in terms of your backlog and quotes. And okay, now we've taken that $500,000 number. Also, we've whittled
it down. That's right. Look at very manageable.
So all of a sudden, I don't have to put together a marketing plan for $500,000. Or again, the marketing plan might be a little different. Like we mentioned before, if we have customers we know about, things that we can play some calls. That's part of the marketing plan, right? If we're trying to plug a gap of $100,000 down, we're not trying to put a plan together for $500,000. We're putting together a marketing plan for $100,000. Wow. Okay. That becomes a little bit much more doable than the $500,000 piece of it, right? And it starts to now decide, well, what do we want to do? Do we want to offer or, you know, to try to sell more of these other products or services? Do we want to offer maybe some new products or services? Do we want to get into some new markets? Are there the new the kind of customers we want to try to approach? Are there some new channels we like to kind of try? All of a sudden, we know some of the more popular channels these days, Jack, are all these online things and social media stuff and things that
right,
are there, because
right.
It's often viewed as free. I'll put those in air quotes here, free, right? Because we aren't spending money. We're spending people's time doing some stuff, right? But there may be some different channels that you may want to explore. As you start to, maybe you have channels that are working great. It's better trying to hone those channels down and say, here, we're going to focus here. Maybe if you look at a new target market, let's say we go, I'll go back to like the home goods market. Well, maybe we find some trade shows we're going to go attend now.
Oh, yeah. Once you start to focus, you know, people don't like to use that word focus, but they don't focus. I mean, this is what you just described is focusing. That's what it means. And you're going to be turning over rocks, and you're going to be finding things that if you weren't focused, which is usually the case, nothing's going to happen. And you'll be complaining and bad rapping forecasting and blah, blah, blah. This is a system to get results, and it puts it in perspective as well. You aren't trying to get the whole enchilada here, you know, in one gulp somewhere. You're breaking it up. You're looking at it logically, and it works.
And you're not doing what our first client did. Our very first client, remember what they said, Jack? They'd been in business for about 12 years, and they'd grown from $0 to almost $2 million in sales, almost 20 employees. And then here's what their planning was every year. We take whatever we had from last year, and we pick a percentage of growth we'd like to have. Let's say it's 12% growth, right? And they said, you know what, every year we put that in our plan, so here it is. Let's grow by this much. We go away, and then magically, it happened until year 12, where not only did they not reach the goal, it went the other way. And they said, wait a minute, what happened? So what do you mean? So, well, it didn't grow. Well, how'd you figure out what it was going to do before? Well, they said, well, why don't we just put a number in a spreadsheet? It's like,
that's it.
Okay. And that's, I think that's where a lot of people's heads are at, right? It's, you know, again, we opened up talking about the whole idea of the thinking and how this process works. Hopefully you've gotten a sense during the show here tonight in this last hour in terms of how do you kind of think about this stuff. We're not talking about an Excel exercise or putting numbers on a spreadsheet or a piece of paper.
Yeah, we don't want that. We want the thinking. and the numbers on the paper give you the framework to think well, to think logically, and to think smart.
And the real key to this planning, folks, what it does is it starts to drive the activity of you and your people and your business. Because now all of a sudden we know, picture now we know the plan for next year is $500,000 in sales, whatever you decide the profit's going to be. And we know we got 400 that identified. I got to find another 100,000 sales. Everybody's now laser focused on what are we doing to make those sales start to happen. And we can do stuff that's geared towards that. And the day-to-day stuff we're doing is making sure we're trying to make that thing start to happen. So it directs the activity tremendously, folks. All right. Fastest hour in radio and podcast here, Jack. We're done. All right. Thank you for being a part of this week's show of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We invite you to tune in every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you have any questions before our next show, give us an email at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of today's show or any prior shows, you can catch them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. If you're a Facebook person, we have a Dirty Secrets of Small Business Facebook page, too. Go over there. Follow that page. It'd be fantastic. You can see things there. It's a good way to be able to engage with us as well. And you can also go to get your smart device, have it delivered right to you, whether you go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, whatever it might be. Go there, have it, you know, subscribe to it, have it delivered right to your smart device. Please leave us a review if you can. That'd be fantastic. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.